Thanks for joining us for the first episode of The Undercut's fourth season. We're thrilled to be back for what should be an amazing 2025 Formula One season. We can't wait to share our thoughts with you after every race. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen, and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. By being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
All right, so we are back. Season 4 of The Undercut, starting out the 2025 Formula One season. One that everyone has been talking about being potentially, always saying potentially beforehand, the closest the teams have been coming into the season. Lots of rookies and lots of driver moves. So I guess, you know, let's start with the rookies. How many did we say there are? Five?
Five rookies.
Yeah.
And last year we had none, right?
Same.
Yeah. I mean, we got two total rookies, right? Three, actually. Because one of the rookies is Behrman, right? So he did what, three? He did three races last year.
He drove for Sainz when he had his appendicitis for Ferrari, but then he also stepped into the Haas, didn't he, later on?
The last race, maybe. But then he also did when K-Mag got a one race ban for accruing all his, you know, all 20, what is 12, isn't it? 12 points during the course of a calendar year.
Yeah.
So he had to sit one out. And so Behrman has done three races. Bortoleto is completely new. Doohan did the last race. So he is a rookie, but he only did one.
And already on the hot seat.
Yeah, I guess we can come to that one, right? How about now? Rumor has it. I mean, people are saying, what, maybe six races he has?
What?
Yeah.
To prove that the seat can be his. Well, otherwise, is Franco Colapinto waiting in the wings to take his spot?
Exactly.
I mean,
and Flavio's in charge.
That makes more sense that it's Flav, maybe, but geez, give people a chance.
Yeah. I mean, well, Franco made a good impression when he first arrived. Towards the end of the season, he kind of became a little bit accident prone. That error in Vegas cost him probably a seat for this season. But he brings with him about $25 million in sponsorship. So it's nothing to be taken lightly when people have that kind of kind of money coming along with them. But what was it, a three-year deal that he signed with Alpine?
Yeah.
And you don't sign reserve drivers on a three-year deal. So, and also Doohan was kind of the last guy's guy.
Yeah.
Right, with Bruno Famma and the whole Alpine school of drivers, complete changing of the guard in their leadership with Ollie Oakes and with Flav. So Mick Doohan's son, so that's nothing to be sniffed at. You know, there's a lot of pedigree, just like we see with Carlos Sainz, but hopefully, Doohan can come in, show what he can do and stick around. But the slightest inkling that he's not quite up to Gasly's standard, Colapinto's going to get a look in at some point this season, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's odd to sign a reserve driver for 3 years, but it's also odd for a reserve driver to want to sign a contract for 3 years because of potential opportunities somewhere else. So maybe they have spoken about something to convince him to stay on to such a big contract like that.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. And what other rookies didn't we talk about?
We've not talked about Isaac Hadjar, who is very fresh.
Yeah.
I don't know to what extent he's done much in an F1 car on a Friday. He's done a couple of tests, I'm sure. Bortoleto was part of the McLaren school, but no room at the inn in McLaren, really, with Piastri and Lando. So Sauber seeing an opportunity to kind of bring in a young guy, but he's not really done too much. One rookie who has done a lot of miles, they're saying about 10,000 kilometers, Andrea Kimi Antonelli. His name's Andrea, but he's now going by Kimi, I think. I don't know. There's only one Kimi, though. There's only one Kimi. I can't call it Kimi Antonelli. Even though it does trip off the tongue. I'll be calling him Antonelli before I've been calling him Kimi. But yeah, he's done a lot of mileage. And I think that really sort of, in testing last week, you could see he, albeit he hadn't done it on the you know, the race spec tire, the proper tires, it'd been on demo tires. So he was locking a few wheels here and there. I know, Jason, you watched a lot, you know, quite a lot of the testing, but you could see that he was a lot more up to speed than some of these other guys who've really hardly turned a wheel in F1.
It's really hard to understand watching testing what's actually going on. It's really just what everyone is telling me what's going on. It's so hard. Yeah. Like, can't keep all the other on this strategy, that strategy. I guess that's the whole point, right? The other teams don't really know either because of the fuel mileages that they're doing or whatever. It's always so
different. The rules of testing are very simple. If your guy is doing well, then everybody's running their race spec qualifying settings and you're going to take it to the house. If your guy's running poorly, it's because they're running full fuel loads whilst everybody else is running race spec.
Everyone else is sandbagging or doing glory runs.
Exactly.
You know, that was always the thing. Like, maybe not so much now because F1's a lot, you know, really quite popular now. But you go back 7 or 8 years, you'd have a team, they'd go light fuel or underweight, put in an absolute stonking lap and hope to attract some sponsors.
Right, exactly. You don't think Carlos topping the timing charts was just like, you know, strip the paint off the car, get it as light as possible, put it out there. We want our name on the timing sheets today. It only matters if you think it matters. It doesn't matter until Saturday.
Pretty epic seeing Carlos top of the times on a session in Williams, though.
I mean, you said it in your short introduction. This should be, I mean, not including Williams, but this should be one of the closest seasons.
Who knows?
You know, since, I mean, 2021 is sort of the pinnacle, right, of Verstappen and Hamilton going at it down to the last race. Is that 2021? Am I getting my years
right?
Yeah,
no, you're 21.
Right. And since then, it's just been Verstappen dominance, right? And, you know, we've been doing this podcast and we just talk about Verstappen wins week after week until the second half of last year. So, you know, he did enough in the beginning of last year to hold on to his championship, you know, quite comfortably in the end because he smacked it through in a few wins in the second half of last year. But if that continues, it could be I was trying to think about it today. 4, 5, 6 drivers like have a realistic shot. I don't know, like Verstappen, Leclerc, Hamilton, Lando, not George, not Piastri. I mean, this is not going to happen, is it?
But probably not.
Maybe any of those four. And the problem with Ferrari is they have two drivers that have the ability to do it, and that's going to cause problems for them.
Yeah, but you speak about Piastri. He's really got to stamp his authority on this season
for sure.
You know, he had a good rookie season. He didn't have a bad year last year. You know, he got a couple of victories in there.
Yeah.
But he's constantly out-qualified by Lando. Was it 16-8 or something? Something like that. It was emphatic. It wasn't a whitewash. It wasn't like Albon and Sargeant. But he's got to prove it now. He's in his third year. And that's a real problem for McLaren if they want the drivers' championship.
I think it helps when the team can coalesce around one driver and the other driver is there to help. Like, that's always been the case, you know, whether it was like Eddie Irvine, like propping up Schumacher, you know, back in the day, or I don't know. Give me some other examples to make my point sound valid.
You're right. Well, Max Verstappen every year.
Well, Max Verstappen did it on his own last year. Sergio really there, but yeah.
The problem is that Oscar is just like a little too good and a little too new, maybe, to be willing to be that team player. Although he says that he is willing to do that, he has in the past, but. I mean,
Bottas did it for many years at Mercedes, but he got sick of it in the end.
Right.
But, you know, he could do it. But my point is that at least I think any of those four drivers could win the world championship, I think. I mean, the Ferrari is maybe my red rose tinted glasses, of course. I mean, Jason, you like to hear Lando's name being thrown around as a potential world champion, right?
I sure do.
and you have to say, this year, he's kind of the favorite right now.
He's certainly the sentimental favorite, no question.
Yeah,
everybody's sick of the Max show.
Yeah, and Max even said recently, I don't know if you saw this, he said it was either today or yesterday, that he doesn't think that he said this before and he's done amazing things, but he says that this car is not anywhere near ready to win come the first race.
Yeah, I mean, they had a lot of Flovis all the way through to the end of testing.
Yeah.
So they were still trying to figure out what was going on right up until half an hour before the end. So. That said, Max did finish second fastest on the final day.
Sure.
So they're not a million miles away, but it just seems like this car again is going to be one of those that it's got a very small window, but you get it in the window and there's a very high likelihood that Max will win just because it's Max.
Yeah, but I mean, so we were talking about it a bit, obviously, Lewis. We talked about it all last season, but he's finally in red, Martin. He's finally
that photo of him dressed like a Don in front of the Ferrari F40 in front of Enzo Ferrari's house. That was a picture, wasn't it?
I mean, they know what they're doing, don't they? I mean, they're not backwards in coming forwards, especially around image and branding. And so on and so forth. So you got to give it to them. And winning beats everything, right? If he's standing on the top step in Ferrari red lifting trophies, everyone's going to love him and Ferrari's going to look like geniuses, whether it's Leclerc or Hamilton up there or both of them standing side by side.
Yeah, I saw a video today of it was taken from a window in Milan and it was outside the window. There were tens of thousands of people all singing the Italian national anthem. And at the front was a stage with the Ferrari cars on and Charles and Lewis. It was...
That was them in Milan. They did like a whole send-off as they headed down under from Milan. Yeah, so yeah, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. Yeah. They know how to market a car. Ferrari, they got a whole country united behind them.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll absolutely. See. It's going to be crazy. And obviously, that was the biggest driver move, but we saw quite a few more.
It triggered one, obviously, with Carlos.
Right.
Having to go to my boys at Williams,
which there was a huge fight over him for Carlos. I mean, I guess Sauber was trying to get in there with the Audi connection and Carlos Sr. And then at the last minute, Alpine tried to get in on that. But he ended up at Williams.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel a bit bad for Carlos. I don't think he did anything wrong. You know, what did he do? He drove well, he won races. He had some issues. But
Charles is their golden boy and he's kept up and performed as well as Charles. I mean it's not been like a Verstappen situation they've been very evenly matched but not to the extent that it went in the direction of Rosberg Hamilton.
Yeah,
you know, obviously Rosberg won a world championship in 2016, but the relationship that they've had, despite the fact that they've all been, you know, winning. It's just been a good team. It's been a great driver lineup of Leclerc and Sainz. And I don't know, it's what's it going to be like with Lewis going in there and trying to stamp his authority?
For Carlos, it kind of smacks of like Danny Ric a little bit, right? Danny Ric was the number two for Max for a while, and then he went off to McLaren, and he you know, won a race there, I guess, with Lando, but he was still the second driver. Then he went to Renault, and then he just kind of like just started a downhill slide, and he never really came back. I feel it could be the same for Carlos. He's never going to, he might never be in a top car again.
Get through this year and next year. Obviously, next year is going to be the first of the new rules and see how things shake out. And who knows what it's going to be like.
Yeah. Who knows?
But there'll always be movement.
Yeah.
Always be movement. And the whole thing with Sauber Audi, it was always going to be the worst car this year.
Sure.
Always going to be the worst. And there's no guarantees about 2026 because, I mean, they've been bad for a couple of years. And you're not going to just, unless they are throwing everything at 2026 and absolutely nothing at 2025 or at 2024 even, because they've been pretty rubbish. But Audi's the reason they're getting rid of the MGU-H, right? Because they don't know how to make one. And it was part of the deal that they came in that it was all just going to be the hybrid. It was going to be regeneration from the braking and all of that. So are they going to be any good? I totally get why Carlos went Williams rather than Sauber. But if he does a really good job in Williams and Audi are pretty decent, he could still have an in there in 2027.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, especially with Bortoleto there, who is, you know, he won the F2 championship last year, albeit kind of on a last lap kind of thing, but who knows how we'll be in F1. We've seen plenty of people in that position not end up doing so well at the next level.
And Hülkenberg's in the other seat there. And give him a couple of years, maybe he'll be good, but would you rather have Sainz or Hülkenberg? I know who I'd rather have.
Yeah.
So Bortoleto gets his feet under the table there. He gets, you know, does really well. And it comes time to think about, well, is it going to be Hülkenberg or can we get Carlos now that we've shown what we can do?
Any other driver movings that we miss? Esteban Ocon to Haas. I mean, Haas is kind of one of the bigger unknowns coming into the season. I mean, I guess they kind of always are, right? They could be anywhere from 5th to 10th.
Yeah, because they just did their thing in testing. And Ayakamatsu was like, yeah, what are we going to do if we're not fast enough? What are we going to do between now and Australia? They just had their plan. They stuck to it. And it just meant that they were like 3 seconds off the pace constantly because they were doing high fuel runs and they were doing the things that they wanted to practice.
Yeah.
So a little deceiving. And, you know, if we want to start, you know, get into some of the pecking order of things, Haas is the one that I've really no idea where they fall.
I'm right there with you. I mean, like I said, could be, I don't think they'll be higher than 5th.
No.
I think that's the ceiling that they have, but, you know, probably somewhere in the,
they're probably 7, 8, 9. Cause I think I've talked myself into Sauber being last, kind of like they were last year.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to put them in any other position, isn't it?
I mean, they couldn't, well, it was last year, right? Where they couldn't even do a pit stop in under 20 seconds. So
they didn't know how to work a wheel nut. I don't know what the deal was there.
And their team principal is a lawyer. So, you know, take of that what you will.
I did not know who that guy was on Drive to. I mean, and I know a lot about Formula One. Nothing, no one is really kind of unknown to me like that guy was unknown to me when they made a whole episode about him, pretty much. I was like, what? Well, I mean, it was the Carlos Sainz one because it was really about Sauber and Williams and all of that. But it's like, who's that guy?
Yeah.
And it almost felt like Will Buxton had to say, oh, this guy, whose name I've forgotten even now. has been around for ages. It's like, has he? I have no idea who this guy is. And there he is on a boat picking out houses on Lake Como. It's like, oh, yeah, come on.
So funny. Yeah, so I guess we're all agreed Sauber is probably in P10. I feel like it's easier probably to go the other way around, right? If we're let's start back from the top. Obviously, I'm a homer, so I'm going to choose McLaren as the number one team. Are you guys there with me for how it stands right now?
You mean talking Constructors' Championship predictions?
Yeah, like pecking order. Just the pecking order of the cars.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm with you with McLaren.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
I wonder who you think it is, Martin. I mean,
ask me in a week's time. But right now, it's time for Ferrari to deliver on. You know, they've spent the money, they've got the drivers. They can't. There's no excuses anymore. This is it.
Yeah.
So we have to believe this is the best chance we've had for a long time.
And I'm not saying that come race four, or when they get to Europe, because they're going what, Australia, Bahrain, Japan, Saudi, in those kind of order, not that order, but those four. They're kind of the flyaway races, and you know, after that, you know, maybe the first round of upgrades, Ferrari will bring something, but I don't know, based on testing, the long runs that they were doing and the race simulations they were doing, it looks like probably McLaren have got them by a tenth or two.
Yeah. Per lap.
Per lap.
Yeah. So.
But I definitely think that Ferrari second.
Me too. So.
Because Red Bull can be quick, but are they going to be able to get it working?
Right.
Right. And if we're talking constructors, both drivers, not just Max, you know, you'd have to put Red Bull right below those two.
I don't know what to make of Mercedes, though.
Yeah.
Because that was the car that last year, when it was cold, like Vegas, they do really well.
Sure.
And Bahrain was unseasonably cold when they did the testing. So Mercedes looked to be pretty decent during the test. But how much of that was because it seems to like cold weather?
Yeah.
I must admit, I've totally discounted Mercedes this year. Like, I feel like they haven't made the moves. And it's just my personal opinion, but I'm giving them like zero to no shot of doing anything. You know, with the rookie driver and George, I don't think George can take it, to be honest.
No.
So what you're saying is they're going to be amazing.
Probably, based on my recent fandom, what I want to happen versus what actually happens, that yes, George to win the world championship. But I think the pressure is going to be too much for George. I think Toto was left stranded by the Lewis move. And, you know, he's tried to piece something together for this year, but I just don't see it happening for him. Yeah. You know, you can't knock Red Bull. I do wish they hadn't picked Liam. I wish they'd given Yuki a shot, but and Ferrari's Ferrari. But I think of those three teams, Mercedes is the biggest loser. And
sure,
I just don't see him doing much this year. Or four teams. Yeah.
I put Williams ahead of Mercedes.
Ferrari, Red Bull, and Mercedes. Huh?
I think Williams will be better than Mercedes this year.
Oh, you think Williams will be better than Mercedes? I didn't say that.
I do. That's I think they've got a much better driver lineup. And if the cars are really that much closer this year than that, you know, what we're expecting, if James Vowles is really that brilliant, I think it could happen.
Wow. Well, that would make for an amazing season if that really came true. But I mean, if you said Aston could be better than Mercedes, then yeah, I might believe you, you know, maybe Adrian Newey effect, but Williams better than Mercedes?
He's not even been in there for a week yet.
Yeah.
He only started on Monday.
Oh, well, he's got it all in his head. Well, you know, he just points at the wing and he just says, make it better. Do this. Cut that bit out. Add that bit there. Double your downforce. Done.
Yeah.
Go and win. That's all the guy does is win championships. I mean, you don't think he can make a difference in a week?
I don't know. Maybe they've just kept it as benign as they can, and so that he could just come in and try and bolt on some performance for 2025. But really, they're all focused on 2026 over at Aston, sure. I think. You know, yeah. Knew he's going to come in, and he's going to be the guy to put their 2026 car together. So I've not got Aston in the top five. I've obviously got, I think, what do we say? We've got.
Do you guys have Mercedes four?
I have Mercedes fourth. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't put them higher than that. No. I mean, the order of the top three is up for grabs if you're using your heart and your head. But yeah.
I still think McLaren are one. And for me, is it Ferrari then Red Bull or Red Bull Ferrari?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I definitely have Mercedes fourth.
Yeah. All right. We'll go with that. We'll see. You know, I'll accept. There's no point in just arguing forever and ever. We just have to wait and see. That's why we watch. But
yeah. But it gets tricky. So best after of the that, rest. Right? So you guys have Williams five, maybe?
No. I have Alpine.
Alpine have got a
Alpine five.
Yeah. But they've got their driver line. What's their lineup?
It's Doohan and
Pierre Gasly and Jack Doohan.
Yeah.
And we're not saying this is going to be like the Constructors' Championship. This is like the pecking order right now. Heading into Australia, where are we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no confidence in them either.
Pierre, I've always rated Pierre Gasly as a driver. I don't always say that. But he's pretty good. I mean, he's another guy who got stiffed by Red Bull, so despite the fact that he's French, I do root for him.
Yeah. You can't let that Britishness inside, can you?
No. At least he had a shot in Red Bull. Like, he was in the seat.
Yeah, but like Alex, right? They get That's chewed true. Up and spat. Yeah. Daniel Kvyat as well, right? But from what I've seen, I don't know why I think that the Alpine is maybe faster than the Williams. I'm a big Williams guy, so I hope that they're better, but I don't know. They were making some real progress last year once they got the weight situation sorted.
Sure.
And, you know, the last few races, they did really, really well, so I expect them to keep that going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got Alpine fifth and then Williams in sixth.
Okay.
So who does that leave? It's not called V-Carb anymore. Racing Bulls?
Racing Bulls.
Wasn't that what they were called last year? The Visa Cash App Racing Bulls?
I guess the Visa Cash App bit got dropped.
Right.
So they're just Bulls now.
Yeah. I don't know.
So are they going to be better than...
Their livery is amazing.
It is nice. I think they've got the best looking car this year. Apart from the Ferrari, of course, Martin. Sorry.
You don't have to keep making excuses for me. Everybody knows.
I think that after the Williams and the Alpines, who I think will be regularly knocking on the door of Q3, I think that there's nothing to suggest that V-Carb aren't going to be, or RB or whatever they are, aren't going to be, you know, in that solid Q2 sort of space.
But we're not giving Haas any love at all then. So Haas are just...
We don't know where Haas are. Yeah. For me, it's like 8 and 9, right? You've got Aston and Haas. And which way round are they? I don't know.
Yeah.
Hang on a second. We skipped over Aston completely. Like, they're down at 8 and 9 with Sauber at 10. And I'm not signing off on this list. This is a terrible list. Aston is like 6, aren't they?
They've got Newey.
They've got Newey. Where's your British engineering, Nick? Come on. They got Newey.
But they've also got Lance Stroll.
Yeah, that's true. They're dragging that around. That is true.
And they've been getting consistently worse.
Yeah, I think I've said on this podcast in the past that maybe Lance Stroll could win a race. So what the hell do I know what I'm talking about when Fernando was doing like great
a couple of years ago when ago. They came out as the second fastest car, pretty much.
It was great. And it's been downhill from there. So maybe I'm still thinking about those performances from 2 years ago, and I tack on a bit of Adrian Newey magic, and suddenly I've got them as the, you know, best of the rest.
Maybe through the season, things will happen and they'll move up. But based off testing, I don't know, Jason, you saw a lot more of it than I did, but I didn't really see much at all from the Astons.
They didn't even get much running. Honestly, I feel like they had issues most of the weekend. So, that just doesn't look good from the start. So maybe it was just random happenstance that they had issues and they'll be fine for the race, but I would be shocked.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Maybe we move Aston up to seventh and RB down to eighth.
Sure.
Maybe it's just... The RB is pretty, and maybe we just, seduced by the pretty car.
I like the RB driver lineup, although you can't get a bigger like dichotomy between Fernando and Lance Stroll, can you really?
No.
You know, in the lineup, you know, with Yuki and who's the other driver?
Isaac Hadjar.
It's Hadjar. I don't know much about him. I don't follow.
The only thing I really know about Hadjar is he was in the running for the championship. He came second in F2 last year. Yeah. But he was the guy, I don't know if you recall seeing the video, where there was a really, really slow car in the tunnel at Monaco.
Oh, is it him missing the car?
He was the guy that came up behind him and just went lightning reflexes and avoided the guy.
That's crazy.
That's all I really know about Hadjar.
That was Hadjar with the lightning reaction as well. Yeah. Well, then he's clearly got world championship potential written all over him, and we'll put them at five.
Yeah.
Because of that move alone. Yeah. I mean, yeah, these guys are all great. I am the most excited I've been for a while going into the season that there's actually going to be some competition. You know, it could very well be, you know, Max is certainly the favorite, but all these drivers and all these cars have got some potential to do something, especially before the regs change drastically, in a year's time.
I think that's pretty much everyone, right? Sauber at the bottom after all
that. Sauber at the bottom, yeah. And then what's his name? Who's the guy that's the Cadillac owner? The Cadillac just got...
Oh, Andretti?
Andretti at the end of the pit wall with his binoculars looking at everybody's wings and engines and trying to make notes for 2026.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was officially confirmed yesterday, right? But we all knew it was that they were going to be on the grid.
Yeah.
So I don't really know why that was a news release yesterday.
It's 2028, right, that they start?
No, next year.
Next year.
Oh, really?
26.
Really? Yeah, cool.
But they will be, they will buy engines. They won't have their own engine until 28.
Oh, okay.
That must be what it was.
I think that was the 28 thing. Right.
Have they announced who their supplier for engines is going to be for 26? Well, they don't know yet.
I'm not going to say. I think it was I don't really know.
I don't know.
I could Google it, but I can listen to it
too. But
sure.
Yeah.
A podcast of people Googling stuff isn't a very interesting podcast.
Yeah, right.
No, it's just much better when we make it up on the spot.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like we know what we're talking
don't
about.
Lie. But yeah. Well, there'll be 22 cars on the grid.
Yeah.
22 cars.
So then, of course, it's like speculation of who's going to be, who they're going to have. I mean, is it going to be,
Bottas.
Is it going to be Bottas or Perez?
They're not going to go for American drivers?
I mean,
well, maybe
Colton Herta obviously will be always the American name that's mentioned. I think Logan Sargeant is looking for a drive if they want an American.
Scott Speed
Award.
Scott Speed, Alex Rossi.
I think Pato. Pato could have a good shot, or Alex Palou. Either could have... If they're willing to look at IndyCar, they don't seem to like to look at IndyCar for F1 for whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, they'd probably, I don't know, my money's probably on Bottas and Checo, to be honest.
That'd be a crazy lineup. The number just, twos, the team of number twos.
Yeah. Just the amount of experience that's there. Right.
It's a lot of championships.
The car could be brown, but it's like proper number two. But Bottas and Checo, I think, would be a great lineup for them, you know, in their first year, just by virtue of you can't put a rookie in a brand new team. They wouldn't be able to give you any sort of feedback on what the car's actually doing.
Ask Gunter, right, when he had Mick and Mazepin.
Yeah,
work out well for him.
That didn't work out at all. When Haas came in, who were their drivers? Romain Grosjean was one, right?
And K-Mag.
Who else did it? Was it? Could have been, yeah. But you need some experience in the car. And I don't think Daniel Ricciardo is going to come back again. I think he's kind of pretty much done. He's retired. But it just felt like, you know, Checo with a bit of rest might be worth a look. And Bottas isn't ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, Checo in a mid to bottom field team is much different than probably in a top team next to Max.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think, I mean, anything else you guys want to add?
No. Looking forward to
it. Put in your Coupes F1 picks.
Absolutely.
I have not done that yet, and I shall do it, because otherwise I'll forget.
It does seem to be a slight technical issue with the site right now, but I'll fix it tomorrow. But it seems to be giving an error about the certificate, but you can still put your picks in. It's safe. Yeah.
And, you know, just a couple of days from the first day of practice in Australia. Exciting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's, there's some flyaway races, and then beginning of May, they're in Miami. I was just looking, actually, because it's a sprint race. So I was thinking, sprint race. Maybe I can take my boy on Saturday of Miami. Because I think tickets aren't too expensive on the Saturday. Nice. China's the other one that's out there.
So we will see very shortly in a quick time how close this season is going to be. But very exciting, and I guess that's it for preview for 2025. Yeah,
bring on season. 2025 season.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
He has to give up the corner. I had to bounce ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks again for listening to The Undercut. Please rate and review wherever you listen, and join us for our next episode on the season opener of the 2025 Australian Grand Prix.